All right, so to start off, you mentioned in a 2011 article about the 27 Club, where celebrities like Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin all died at the same age. So why are these self-destructive issues prevalent in the performing arts?
I think there are a number of factors. Firstly, the 27 Club, I think, probably gets an exaggerated reputation. I think it's just one of those interesting data points where there's a correlation between a number of celebrities that all died at the same age. But realistically, it tells a story of young people dying early, particularly in the performing arts. And I think something to be said about that is partly it's a correlation between real data where, you know, young men 18 to 24 are more likely to die in car accidents, you know, suicide spikes at that age group, etc. So when you look at celebrities and you often have, you know, pressure of fame as well as substance issues, you've got a number of factors that work to heighten chances of death. During things like risk-taking, depression, etc., which are things that also spike at the young end of the age spectrum, I think these factors work together to make, you know, a higher likelihood of something horrible happening, although not necessarily some kind of widespread phenomenon.
Okay, you mentioned about depression. Is there any link between mental health and creativity?
So there's a lot of memoir and autobiographical type data that would suggest that, you know, artists often self-report that they feel connections between their creativity and their mental health issues. But that's, in what I've seen in terms of research, that's largely self-described rather than any kind of longitudinal data that we'd consider in the social sciences to be sort of strong evidence. But certainly, if you talk to artists of any kind, writers, painters, singers, other kinds of musicians, there definitely is a high self-reporting about different kinds of mental health issues. It's just that I don't think that great research exists in this area yet.
How about the industrial and, say, cultural conditions of the arts? Does that contribute to creating this character, or maybe should I say caricature, of the tortured artist?
So there's a long-standing history of, you know, caricatures like the tortured artist, but also the starving artist. And
yeah,
I think that an aspect of this that plays in is that, you know, it is hard for most people in the creative industry to make any money. We know of exceptional cases of people who do, but they're the rarest. Most people who go into the arts and into the creative field do not make money. So that reality of struggling to get by, struggling to put food on the table in your chosen profession, is one of those things that you could argue makes life difficult. Whether or not, though, having financial struggles leads to mental health problems and causes untimely death, I'm not sure that you can make that case. I certainly think struggling financially doesn't help your well-being, and it probably damages your self-esteem and negatively impacts your mental health. But whether that actually leads to anything more than that, I think that's a very personal, you'd have to look at that on a case-by-case basis, because yes, you can say that the creative, you know, artists struggle financially, but people who work in factories also struggle financially. People who work in a lot of different fields where pay and conditions are not good struggle, and that's not exclusive to the arts.
Right, and there's the example of, say, even like famous people who have made it big, who also did take their own lives, for example, Van Gogh or Ernest Hemingway, maybe Sylvia Plath, and perhaps more recently, Robin Williams, Chris Cornell, Avicii, and Chester Bennington. And you mentioned in your article and just now as well, like, artists tend to bleed all over their work. So does this, perhaps this emotional connection of a bleeding heart, lead to an increased suicide risk?
Look, I think that if you're using your art as a kind of therapy, I think for some people that can be cathartic and therapeutic, but for other people, that's potentially sort of living in your pain as opposed to being focused on getting out of it and seeking treatment. And I think for some people that can be quite negative, that idea of staying in a situation, in a mental situation that's not great for you, can potentially be harmful, as opposed to people who decide, I need actually to have some sort of treatment and intervention with the hope of getting out of this situation. But again, this is a bit of a chicken and an egg question, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are people drawn to the arts because they have mental health issues, versus do people get mental health issues as a result of being in the arts? And I think that's very, very variable depending on the individual. My own belief, and again, I'm not a mental health expert, I'm a social science scientist, but I think that there is a lot of biological and individual physiology that might make people predisposed to these issues, but I don't think it's caused by your social circumstances as much as other kinds of brain chemistry.
So it's like it's good therapy, but it's also kind of unsafe to remain in that headspace constantly, right?
Well, I think for some people it's therapeutic, but I don't actually think that's the case for everyone. I think some people actually, you know, using their pain and suffering and mental health issues as fuel for their art can actually be problematic. Some people find it therapeutic, but others that actually absolutely can be damaging for them and makes the situation worse. And I think, you know, there is probably am guilty of this a little bit as well, where there's an element of belief that your, be it anxiety or any kind of what we call a mental health issue, that that's your, what keeps you going, and if you get fixed, you know, you won't have that inspiration anymore. And I definitely think that there's a culture amongst a lot of creatives that there is a concern about getting repaired and whether that will be damaging to the creative process.
It could be perhaps like an addiction, right?
Well, certainly the idea, and you know, if you've ever read Stephen Fry's work on talking about his bipolar, for example, he'll often talk about, you know, the mania and how creative he feels when he's manic. And
the best material kind of thing.
Yeah, and a lot of people he knows feel very similar, you know, people who he would consider bipolar, that's a real fertile, rich ground for creative expression. And that he doesn't, you know, when you're not at that manic part, or, you know, when you feel a dip or a low, you're not as creative. And so people like Stephen Fry, he's spoken about having to find a medium where you can work regardless, you know, that you don't need that manic episode to feel creative, and working out a way of how to organize your life and skills to not use your episodes that way.
Right. So like mental illness could be, I guess, kind of like a physical illness, but it's also still something that, I guess, moves, shifts, adapts, and maybe even becomes immune. And although the conversation around mental health being destigmatized is a very good thing, I think we have to be careful not to give it, say, a second wind or maybe a traction to breathe oxygen. So for our listeners who are budding artists themselves, how can we compartmentalize this microcosm of culture?
Look, I'm not sure it's necessarily something that needs to be compartmentalized. I think for me, something that how I think about mental health issues, but also issues of addiction and any other kind of thing that, you know, affecting your well-being, you need to work out, is this affecting my life in a negative way? Now, you could still have some positive experiences in there, you know, in the sense of having fun or being creative, but overall, are you getting to live the life you want, or is this issue, be it mental health or addiction, holding me back? And if it's holding me back, I think that's the time where you need to say, I need to get some intervention here for my own well-being.
Right. Just on a different turn, I guess, you know, the concept of death is definitely explored a lot in the performing arts. So at what point does this glamorizing and, let's say, romanticizing of death become unhealthy?
Look, in fact, there's lots of research, particularly in the psych field, that would say having a introspective and analytical approach to death is actually quite good. You know, that it's understanding your own mortality and thinking about it is actually a positive. You're putting it in perspective. In fact, there is research that would say that in Western cultures, preoccupation with pretending that death doesn't exist and constantly pretending that it's not there is equally unhealthy. So I think when it becomes a problem for an individual is what's called suicidal ideation, when people are actually thinking about their own death, and not only thinking about their own death, but thinking about ways to bring about their own death. That's when it becomes, I would suggest that they think about contacting a mental health hotline and getting some help, because that's where it transfers from an abstract idea and a kind of conceptual musing
creative
to something
stimulus
that's self-harming.
Oh, okay. So finally, this is entirely subjective, but in your opinion, do you believe that artists create better art when positively inspired or negatively motivated?
I think it's absolutely up to the individual. I think some people are, and it also depends on what kind of art you're producing. You know, we've got this cultural stereotype about comedians being, in real life, they're all tortured art. You know,
tears of a clown.
High, and high level depression, etc. that's true for some, but it's not true for everybody. And there are some people who say they need to have a really positive headspace to be able to produce work. There are other people who say that they thrive on chaos and emotional upset to write theirs. And I think this is very much, you think of a different metaphor. Some people work in a, you know, need to have a perfectly clean desk before they can work. Other people like myself thrive on chaos and rubbish everywhere. And that's my process. And I think that it's very difficult to generalize in regards to that.
All right. Thank you so much. I think that is pretty much all we've got.
Excellent.